But here we go. Last time we got together, Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we could throw those on the screen. It's up to you how you want to do that. I don't know if that helps. It does help me sometimes. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel and the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So he said, these are two different covenants. We got the covenant on Mount Sinai, right? That's the covenant. They got the Ten Commandments. And then we had the blessings and the cursings. And God says, I want you to understand that I have a plan for you and I have commandments and you got to follow them in order to be blessed. All right. So Moses called all the children of Israel and said unto them, you have seen all the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, unto all his servants, unto all his land. There's something important to see right there for you and I, is that we can't forget everything God's ever done for us. All right. We see what we do many times in life is that we look trying to get out of our problems to get to the end of that solution and that answer, and we forget the journey of what God did before. And then we get all messed up and say, I'm not going to make it. I'm going under. Wave at me if you got a pulse. You know what I'm talking about. But all we have to do is stop, be still, listen to the Lord, and the Holy Ghost will remind you of what he's done for you in the past. Think about all the good things God has ever done for you. So that applied right there, applies to us today. So the great temptations was that I have seen the signs and those great miracles. Again, I can't forget what God did for me. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. In other words, he says, I'm bringing you to this place to remember what I've done. Now you can perceive. Now you can understand how awesome I am. You'll never understand the totality of how good God is to you until you recognize he's been there for you all the time. Come on now. You won't know him as Jehovah Jireh if you never had him provide. If you've never had lack. If you've never had illness or issues, you wouldn't understand him as Jehovah Rapha. I wish I had somebody help me today, or El Elyon, or all the great names that he has in the Bible. You wouldn't fully understand him unless you've gone through those trials. And then when you go through them, it becomes an indelible mark in your heart. And then you could look at people and say, let me tell you something, he is my deliverer. See, most believers don't have a true testimony about what God has done, or at least they forget about what God has done, and therefore they don't have the faith to move into the next battle or get out of the battle that they're currently in. You got to remember what God has done for you. All right, this is all recap, by the way. I'm sorry if I'm teaching it again, but I'm going to join it. I have led you how many? 40 minutes. What? Better read that again. 40 years in the world. That's a long time. How many of y'all have prayed and 40 minutes later you're wondering where God's at? I'm the only one in this building. 40 minutes later, you don't know if he's still on the throne. You don't know if he's El Shaddai or El Chipo. Church, help me out, man. We do that. 40 years, that's a long time. But look at this. 40 years in the wilderness, your clothes are not waxed old upon you, and thy shoes are not waxing old upon thy foot. Here's the miracle. You ready for it? They didn't have Walmart. Let's go. And the world was a better place. Everybody say amen. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. So he said, I provide it. And when you came into this place, everybody say this place, Shihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against thee into battle, and we smote them. Would you look at we? Every battle you go through, if you go through it by faith, God will say, we did it. That's right. He pats you on the back and says, good boy, good girl, you did it. We did it. Well, who were these kings? These were giants. Remember? They were giants. The long-necked people is what they were called. Giants. And see, we have these little, small, little demons we fight, and we get all upset about it. I couldn't imagine fighting one of those big ones. And we took their land. Notice we took their land and gave them for an inheritance unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. All right, move along. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. So I got to do what? I got to shamar. That's the Hebrew word for keep. I have to guard it. Then I got to do it. All right? And you shall stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, and all the men of Israel, and your little ones and your wives. All right, come on. That thou shouldest enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. That he may, here you go, establish thee. What was that word? Did anybody remember from last week? To raise up. He's going to raise me up. He's going to raise you up. God has anointed everybody in this room, those watching by live stream. Everybody, God has anointed, and he's raised you up for his purpose in the last days. Now, your purpose may not be to stand up before your people. Your purpose can be on your job, whatever God's called you to do. But he established thee this day for a people to what? Unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God. All right? Neither with you only, this is the part I really like, not only with you did I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. Like I said last time we got together, that is a generational blessing. That's why we can stand right here in 2020 in this modern day, and all the things that we have, the technology we have, and stand on this covenant truth that if God was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's with me. If he was with Moses, he's with me. If he was with Israel, he's with you. You see that? Your faith gets built. Your faith gets large. You begin to be established and be raised up. And again, I just don't understand preachers that run away from the Old Testament. There are so many foundational truths here. So much evidence of who my Father is, who what? Never changes. He never changes. So I can go to the Word of God, especially Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and I can look at that indelible truth and say, you know what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. You change because you're fickle. Don't look at somebody. You change because you're fickle. You change because you get emotional. You change because it rained today. Some folks won't even go outside. They curse the rain. And then when the sun comes out, they curse the sun. I mean, just, you know, never happy. How many of y'all know somebody like that? Don't look around the church. Just say amen. All right. For we know he hath dwelt in the land. We have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. Again, there's that remembrance. Very powerful. And you have seen their abominations. Okay. He says, don't forget that. Lest there should be among you a man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away from the Lord, or turn away from thee this day from the Lord our God. So he says, I want you to live right. And it came to pass when he heareth the words of the curse that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace. All right, so let's go on just a couple more verses. Give me a couple more. Give me about to 22. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of the land and the sickness which the Lord had laid upon it, that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt. Talking about who? Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, give me next one or so. Even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land? Let's stop right there and we'll move on. What is the point of this? The point is that there must be a balance in the Gospels, a balance in our witness, a balance in our evangelism, that there should be a balance of grace and a balance of judgment. In other words, if all I talk about is heaven and grace and forgiveness, and I don't lead somebody to understand their weight and their sin of what they've done, if I don't bring them to realize that hell is hot and hell is real, then I rob them from the point of conviction, and they don't have an understanding of what's my sin all about. And that's what's happened today with preaching. We just gotten away from holiness. We've gotten away from righteousness. All right, so let's move on. That was last time. That was the other day, wasn't it? Man, 2020's moving, isn't it? We're moving on. I almost started singing Christmas songs today. I just said, you know what, I might as well get into it because we fixing to turn the calendar, man. All right, you don't want me singing nothing. Deuteronomy 30. Are you ready? Here we go. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations which the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Stop there and look at that real quick. Your God, my God, your Father, my Father, he knows everything. Is that right? He knows our heights. He knows our depths. He knows our mistakes. He knows everything about us. He created us. And he still loves us. Think about that for a minute. God knows everything about us. And he's the only one in the universe content to be with us. Let me try that one more. He's the only one content to be with us. Because sometimes we only want to be with ourselves. You ever look in the mirror and say, what are you looking at, man? But you bother me. But look what he says here. And it shall come to pass. Everybody say shall. It shall come to pass when all these things come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. God was telling Moses prophetically, these blessings and the cursings are coming on you. He knew Israel would mess up. He knew man would make a mistake. Aren't you glad for Jesus? I said, aren't you glad for the cross? Aren't you glad for redemption? And God had already had it in his mindset to apply grace and apply mercies. His mercies are renewed how many times? Every day. That's right. So when all these things come upon thee. All right, verse 2. And shall return unto the Lord thy God. Notice he says, you're going to have these cursings. You're going to have these blessings on you, but you will return. I'm going to drive you out to these nations because I know you're going to fail. But I also believe in you, you're going to return. Isn't that awesome, man? I see the gospel message, Brother Mike, all up in this Old Testament, all in Deuteronomy, because my God, listen to this, God has more faith in you than you realize. I said, God has more faith in you than you realize because he gave you faith. He gave you the measure of faith. He gave you saving faith. He gave you the ability to increase your faith. So he believes in you. And so he believed there would be return. And shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thy soul. So you got to obey. You got to go back. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. He already said it. You're going to go into captivity. Have compassion upon thee. And will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Well, first of all, has Israel been scattered? No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But have they come home? Absolutely. See, you can also look at this. It applies to us. Have we been scattered? Absolutely. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have run from God. Probably everyone in this room and those watching by live stream and recording, you know, we've all made commitments to God and then blew it. I know I did. I know I told God, I love you and I'm going to serve you and blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, trip up and run away for a while. Come on, somebody. And like Paul, get hit by the Lord and get straight with him. Then the Lord thy God will turn that captivity and have compassion on thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations of the earth where the Lord thy God has scattered thee. Absolutely, that's happened. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Two things I want you to see. He's going to gather, he's going to fetch. Now, what am I seeing here when I read this? Well, I'm seeing the redemptive plan of God. I'm seeing redemption. I'm seeing that my God is going to go after. I'm seeing that my God's going to fetch. I'm seeing that my God is going to assemble his people. He's going to bring his those that are backslidden. And so the promise that you and I have, if we have children that are backslidden or grandchildren or family members, we can believe Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And half your house? No, all your house, your whole house. Why? Because he's going to gather them and he's going to fetch them. If he did it for Israel, he'll do it for me and you. See, but most people look at God as a scattering God. God's just going to come out there and he's just going to rain on your party, man. He's going to, boo-hoo and mess everything up. No, he's not that way. He's a gatherer. and he's going to help bring things into your life and gather in the blessings. Man, that's the God I serve. I don't know who you serve. That's who I serve. If any of thine be driven out into other most parts of the earth, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence he will fetch them. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed. There's a generational blessing. And thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee harm. What? Man, I got to get a new Bible. He will do you good. Why? He's a good God. I mean, some preachers make God out to be so bad, man, and to be such an ogre. Does God have a temper? Yeah. Does God get angry? Absolutely. He's a father. Come on. He'll turn you over his knee and whip you. He'll get you a switch to your switch. I mean, he's going to work on you. That's the way he is. He's a father, and he only does it out of love. But the heart of God is good. But we as Christians do a bad job representing him. People say, well, God's going to get you. Well, you know, maybe so in some form or fashion if you don't get right. But how about God's a good God and he loves you? And if you don't get right, then he's going to get you. All right. All right. He says, what? And thou shalt possess it, and he will do good and multiply thee above thy fathers. Look at that, above thy father. He's going to multiply thee above thy fathers. Watch this. A good father always wants his children to supersede himself. Now, we can't supersede God, that's impossible. But what he's saying is, those that went before you, I want you to multiply and be greater than them. In other words, every generation should do greater than our fathers. And it should be our father's passion and desire for us to succeed them. It should be. It should be. We should be passing on the baton of the kingdom of God to the next generation. No matter what day it is, no matter how late it is in the hour, it's still the same principle. All right? And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. He's passing it on, man. Look, I can give my children millions of dollars, but if I don't get, and I don't have that just yet, by the way, but I can give them all kinds of stuff, but if I don't give them the gospel and character and righteousness and loving God, then that money will end up being poisonous to them. That will be their death sentence. That will cause them to lose their soul. And what does it gain a man to profit the whole world and lose his own soul? And Jesus said that. So, leaving an inheritance is more than money. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee which persecuted thee. All right? Now, something to say about that real quick. If you got enemies, let God deal with them. If you got enemies, just hush your mouth. Hush your mouth and let God deal with it. Pray about it and say, God, this is too much for me. You need to deal with these folks. You need to deal with this person. They on my tail. They're coming after me. I mean, every time I look in the rearview mirror, there they are, snorting out smoke and fire and brimstone. God, I give you my enemies. That didn't go over too good, did it? People, they already just duke it out themselves. No, let God handle it. He does better. All right, and thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do half of his commandments, which I command thee this day. Is it all? Y'all, see, we got to do it all, don't we? That's right. We got to follow. Verse 9. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good. Would you read that with me? For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over his fathers. Do you know that God rejoices over his children? Try it one more time. God rejoices over his children when we do right, when we do good. Doesn't an earthly father applaud you and say, hey man, good job, well done, when you do something on the earth that's right? Well, isn't he our heavenly father? See, church folk can't get this in their mind because it's too big for them. They just think God's up there and he's real busy. I I'd laugh, but I'm God. You know what I mean? I'm like, don't be so staunchy. Don't be so religious. He invented humor. He invented humor. If you don't believe that, look in the mirror. You are funny. You are funny looking. I mean, look at us. I mean, we're just hilarious. Some of y'all just sucking lemons, but I'm going to tell you something. My God is an awesome God. My God created me with great desire for me to succeed and for you to succeed. And he thinks you're hilarious in a lot of your ways, because we do some pretty silly stuff, don't we? But he is a God of righteousness. He is a God of holiness. He's a God of seriousness. He's all those things. But if you have emotions, guess what? He has emotions. How do I know that? Because I was created in his image. I mean, I think about Jesus and his walk with the disciples. I don't see them just, you know, Jesus glowing at night and all these different things. And, you know, hey, watch this. I'm going to multiply the fish. He wasn't doing magic tricks. He was being who he was as God, but he was also relational. And I could just see them having a blast. You ever hung out with fishermen? You ever hung out with men? They have a sense of humor, don't they? And so I believe God has that same thing. You better believe it. Watch this. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the law, if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. I really want to go back to 9. I wasn't doing that. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. Watch this. He's saying, I've got some secrets, I've got commandments, I've got things about me that are not far off. Religion always makes you feel like God's far off. His presence is far off. His laughter, his goodness, the emotions of God, they're far off. No, they're not, because he's not. Watch this. Verse 12. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. So stop right there. He said, the commandment, my presence, what I want to do with you, number one, it's not afar off. It's not unreachable. It's not in heaven somewhere. What's going on here? Verse 13. Neither is beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. He said, it's not over the seas. It's not so far away you got to travel. Again, religious and religiosity, religious spirits, again, they make you feel like God's so far away and you got to crawl or you got to swim or you got to do whatever you have to do to get to God. I'm so glad that he is an ever-present help. I'm so glad all I have to do is call on the name of Jesus. All I've got to do is holler, help! Right. Sorry, girls. You ever done that before? Just help! You ain't got no long prayer in King James. Thou Lordeth knoweth my nameth. It's Benjamineth. I cometh to you againeth because I'm in troubleth. You silly rabbit. You know what I mean? You know? No, man. God, it's me, man. Help me! I can't pay my bills. Come on, I just got pulled over. Help. Watch this. Verse 14. But the word is very nigh. Where? Unto thy mouth and in thine heart that thou mayest do it. Jesus was the word. Come on, he was made flesh. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It was nigh into our hearts, nigh into our minds, nigh into our lives. He's right here. He's near. Man, he's never present help. I need him. I ain't got time to dial 911. I ain't got time to... I roll up. I need God now. I ain't got time to call Superman and get in the phone booth. I need Jesus now. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Do you see the gospel right there? God was already setting them up, Brother Mike. He was already setting them up for Jesus to come. In fact, the Apostle Paul quoted these scriptures. I've told you, Deuteronomy was quoted more than any other Old Testament scriptures in a lot of areas. All right, go verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Notice the word see. You got to see this. You got to see that God is good. You got to see there's a balance of life with Him. There's a walk with Christianity that I must balance out. That, yeah, my God is, you know, He's awesome and He's loving and He's humorous and he wants me to have a good time. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But I also understand He's a holy God. And I must bow my knee and reverence Him. And I must obey Him and please Him. I must walk in the precepts and the counsels of the Word. Amen. So I got that balance in my life. I set before thee this day, life and good, death and evil. How many of y'all going to take life and good? Well, you got to obey. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. Now we're going to break this down real good. In that I have commanded thee this day. You want life and good? Here you go. Love the Lord thy God, number one. The number one thing for you and I to do is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all that mind. Love Him. What does that mean to love Him? That means to obey Him. You cannot sit here and tell me, look me straight in the face, and tell me that you love God if you don't obey Him. And how do I know you obey Him? By the Word. Not because you come to church. Anybody can put clothes on. Well, I hope you do. Anybody put clothes on, sit down. How hard is that to do? How hard is it to get an air-conditioned car and drive to church? Or two windows down, the air blowing on you? It's not hard. The hardest thing is when you walk out and live this truth. That's the hardest thing. And for me, too. Come on now. So the proof of love is obedience. You cannot have love without obedience. If my wife tells me she loves me and she doesn't obey, I'm using that as an example. I was going to say me, but I had, you know, I got to get tough up here, you know, want y'all to know how I feel. But no, I mean, if there's no love, and when I say obedience, we're talking about submission. We're talking about just doing what's right. If that's not there, then there's no love. There's no trust. So that's powerful. Watch this. So to love the Lord thy God. So if I love Him, what am I going to do? I'm going to walk in His ways. I'm going to walk in His ways. How does it apply to the Christian life? Again, I love Him, so I'm going to obey Him. I love God, so I'm going to obey. Am I going to make a mistake? Yeah. I can't always do the best, but I'm going to try. I'm going to do whatever I can. So God help me. But I'm going to love Him and I'm going to walk in His ways. This is why I say if somebody tells me, yeah, I love God and I'm born again, and you don't obey the Word of God, I doubt your love. I really do. You can get mad at me all you want to. But it would be the same in a human relationship. Why does a human relationship get a pass, but it doesn't with God? Or vice versa. In other words, we don't apply our relationships between one another in the reality of what it's like with you and God, because He's God. He's so far from us. But if we bring Him into our hearts and make it personal, guess what? God has feelings, doesn't He? The Holy Spirit gets convicted. Or He brings conviction, but He also gets hurt. His heart gets hurt. He brings the conviction to us. But He also feels our emotion. Jesus was what? Our high priest that feels the infirmities of our flesh. And it just amazes me how religion removes the relationship of God from us, and we make Him into a relic, and He becomes some type of idol or some type of article of worship. No, man, if you love Him, walk in His ways. And to keep, everybody say keep. Again, that's shamar. The Hebrew word for guard, where do we find it first? In the book of Genesis, where Adam was told to keep the garden. He was supposed to shamar it. And we know because he did not shamar, he did not guard it, which is as a military term, the devil came in. And deception was brought into their life. So to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, here's the blessing. That thou mayest live and multiply. How many want to live and multiply? Love God, walk in His ways, keep His commandments, then you'll live and multiply. And here's the third thing. If you're taking notes, that was 1, 2, and 3. This is A and B. Live and multiply. And C, the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land which you go to possess it. Again, the blessings of God doesn't mean you've got Rolex on every, you know, on both arms and you've got diamonds. That's ridiculous. Blessing means that God's favor is on you. I know a lot of people that don't have a lot of stuff who have the favor of God. They got the joy of the Lord. You see the man, there's beautiful smile, and they just love God, and they're content with what they have. It's got nothing to do with things. It has everything to do with God having you and that favor that comes. So, number one, I love the Lord with all my heart. Number two, I walk in His ways. Number three, I guard those commandments. And how do I guard them? I guard my heart, because out of your heart comes what? The issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. We can discover our treasures, whether they're good or corrupt, by what we say. Is anybody here? All I need is about 5 minutes to speak to somebody. Just give me 5 minutes to talk to them. And vice versa. And you can find out where a person's mindset is. You can find out where their heart is. You can find out where their treasure is. You can find out where their future is just by your words. You are hung by the tongue and you're snared by your words. But it begins with the heart. So he said to guard them, to keep them, and you'll find that blessings. So live and multiply, and the Lord shall bless thee in the land where thou go to possess. I want the blessings, man. All right. Verse 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou will not hear. Can that happen? Yes. Most people backslide in the house of God first. But shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce unto you, or I announce to you this day, that you shall surely perish. That's the part we don't want to preach about. We say, well, you know, God understands. No, you shall surely perish, that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. So God makes a promise to him, and he says, check this out. I love you. I got a plan for you. But if you don't do it the way that I'm telling you to do it, if you try another way, if you disobey, if you don't, you know, follow me with all your heart, if you don't walk in my ways, if you don't keep these things that I'm telling you, then there's going to come a time when I'm going to deal with you. And that's exactly where America is today. That's exactly where the world is. That's prophetic. That's not political, it's prophetic. That's exactly where we are today because of what we've done. But God said, I'm going to do this. Someone says, well, this is about Israel. This is about everybody. In historical, scriptural context, yes, it's dealing with Israel. But in principle, in reality, and character of who God is, in the laws of first mention, and you can only find the laws of first mention in the Old Testament because that's the first time you see God. Are you here? Everybody go like this. The methodology of God. See, people want to teach all through the New Testament, not recognizing that most of the scriptures that Jesus was quoting goes right back to the Old Testament, because He is the Word. And these are principles that we're supposed to live by. In other words, I find out who God is by looking right here at His character. All right, so let's go over. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Again, choose life isn't a, you know, anti-abortion slogan. That's God's word. Choose life. You know, again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. How do you talk? Do you talk death or do you talk life? Do you wake up and curse the day or you wake up and say, I'm blessed? No matter how you feel, no matter what you've got to go through, no matter what you're dealing with, what do you say? How do you declare your life? It's getting quiet in here, man. It's the truth, and we forget it, especially in this hour with the pandemic and judgment and things going on. Christians have lost their voice. They've lost their faith confession. There's some believers who've been in church for so long, they used to have great confessions and great prayer, and now it's, oh me, oh my God, where's my mask? Come on. And sanitizer, I trust. Not telling you not to do it. What I'm telling you is that we put more trust in the things that are mechanical than we do the things that are scriptural, the things that are full of faith, and saying, God, I trust you with all my heart. I lean not towards my own understanding. In all of my ways I acknowledge you, and you shall direct my path. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Love that scripture. All right? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice. Do you see that again? Love and obey. Look at the Bible. Study it. Love, obey, and cleave. Watch that. Love, obey, and cleave. Do you see how it goes? Love, obey, and cleave. If I love, I will obey, and I will cleave. If I love, I will obey, and I will cleave. I'm not letting go of God. You can let go of God. I ain't. Well, times are tough. I'm not letting go of God. You can. Well, I'm not going to go to church. I'm going to church. Well, I mean, where's God? He's everywhere he's ever been. I mean, he ain't gone nowhere. He's still the same. Got the same parking spot. Right? It's the same place. I mean, he's right there. He's with you. He's, again, he's at ever-present help. But see, crisis comes. We forget the journey, and then we forget God. But he said, love and obey, and that mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life. Where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Remember the disciples said to Jesus, where are we going to go? You got words of life. We sold everything. We quit. We threw down our nets. We're following you. What are we going to do? I'm just a stinky fisherman. I don't know. What am I going to do? But it was more than that to them. They fell in love with him as his love was given to them. And they followed him. Yeah, they had problems at the end there, and Peter cut off a guy's ear and then ran, and we know the story. The flesh came out. But see that, love, obey, and cleave unto him. Let me read the last part there. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord thy God swear to thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them, again, generational blessings. I'm not going to let go of God. Because he's invested too much in me. You're not going to let go of God because he invested too much in you. I don't care what happens in the world. It doesn't matter. It's been written. It doesn't matter what happens in the coming days and weeks and months into the years prophetically. It's been written. I'm not leaving. But all of us know people who have left God. They left God over a trial. And some are sitting in church and they've left God. They have. Just because you're sitting as window dressing in church doesn't mean that your heart is totally towards God. Obedience proves it. Showing up is just a number. Showing up is just a shadow. The substance is who you are and what you do with God in your relationship. That's real Christianity. I just preached more than you're giving amens to. All right, let's go. Come on, man. I want one more. Y'all want to get one more in there? Just let's make 21. You ready? No. No. So in my final statements, my final closing, throw that back up there. Let's look at it one more time. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. I want that to sink in for a minute. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord swear. Notice the word dwell there. If I'm going to dwell in the promises of God, then I've got to do those things he just said. Many times when you study scripture and you read, a lot of times we just read through it and we just say, okay, that was awesome, and then we go on. Read it and see the points that he's trying to make. God is very good at dot to dot. In fact, I'm an awesome artist with dot to dot. Tony, thanks, brother, for the smile by the way. You feel the same way. I mean, some people just are phenomenal artists. They don't need, I need dot to dot. Because when I get dot to dot, I got it, man. It's like, yeah, I got that. It's beautiful. Huh? That's how easy God makes it. So if I follow those dots and I recognize and I realize that if I love him and walk in his ways and I keep his commandments, I guard my heart and I cleave unto him and recognize and realize that he's my life, that I'm going to dwell in the land that he wants me to possess. So what does that mean in closing? What does that mean for you and I? We don't possess Livonia. I mean, you know, you can try to go stake claim over at the gazebo. They'll probably arrest you. You can't do that. But you can stake claim in the kingdom and the promises of God. You can stake claim in that word and says, by his stripes I'm healed. You can claim in that word that he's my provider. He's going to make a way for me. He's going to bless me exceedingly abundantly above all I'd ever ask or think. And I can make my claim in the things of the kingdom of God. And that life will be ours, and it'll be more abundant. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to close on that this evening. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me give you a couple of scriptures that I had left out because I was running through. Go to Romans 10, 6 through 8 when you have time. That'll be your homework. And let me see if I got anything else for you scripture-wise. Yeah, read the whole Bible. Read the whole Bible. You're going to find out some good truth in that right there. So Romans chapter 10, 6 through 8. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to teach your word. I pray that we would obey, show our love towards you and walk in our ways, all your ways, and keep covenant with you, Father God, that we would cleave to you because you are the author of life. Where am I going to go? You've done too much for me to turn back. Your promises are yea and amen. You prepared a place for me, and I want to see it, and I want to be with you forever. So, Lord, I will cling to you all the days of my life, and we will obey you in this final hour. Bless your people, Father. Give them a great end to their week, and bring us all together this Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all, I love you. You be blessed. I gave you a few minutes earlier there. Good to see you, brother. Love you all. Blessings.